It's one per customer.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Well, I'm having a little bit of a hoarse voice today, so Neil can dominate. That won't be hard.
Yeah.
He's announcing. I don't think you realized the recording was on when when you were talking about the one per customer rule. We're rationing.
Oh, yeah.
We're rationing toilet paper in grocery stores. It's wonderful.
I thought
wonderful
I got
way
two
to start April.
Brands. I go, well, they're not the same brand.
Well,
again,
the cashier, this particular cashier, I'm sure no one from the store has any idea we do podcasts. This particular cashier is really unpleasant.
Well,
she's,
you know, I mean, it's only fair.
Can't deal
you don't
with
want
her.
To board
no,
and
no,
that's
no,
not
no.
What I was doing, I was just gathering utensils.
Well, had she knows we're a couple, though, and had I been, up early trying to get an order on Prime Fresh, and I was up late last night, like at 1 a.m. trying to order, but I didn't make it to you with you to the grocery store this morning, but she's aware that there are two people in our family,
well,
so she could have been lenient.
It's not so much that, I wasn't getting two of the same kind, there were different varieties there in different sizes. So I got this big one, and then I saw this other one there. It was a whole different packaging, a whole different brand. And so
it was one per customer, and she's aware that there are two of us. And if she was being nice, she would have let you have it. But anyway, whatever. Tried to make us pay for a bag once when a bakery bag, their brand, broke, and there was like bread crumbs falling all over the, you know, the conveyor belt, and she tried to charge us instead of getting a produce or a courtesy clerk to get a produce bag. So she's rather a witch, if I don't, if people don't mind me saying so. Sorry, can't stand her.
Her last name is Cratchit.
And I sound like a witch today. But anyway, let's tell people how to get in touch with us. 914-338-0164 is the call number. And, of course, we'd love it if you follow us or comment on our radio shows. We got a few comments the other day. That was encouraging. Nice to know that people are listening, even if they're not calling in and getting readings. People do listen to the podcast. We're on Blog Talk Radio, obviously, when we're airing. We are on Blog Talk Radio Live, and we also are live on iTunes and other platforms such as Stitcher, Spreaker, and the like. So
you can also catch us on Looney Tunes.
You can.
But, you know, I mean, I guess.
But, you know, and we're talking about toilet paper.
But, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm a little surprised that everybody is kind of shut in or staying home, and we're not getting more calls.
Oh, we have a caller.
Oh, we do have a caller?
Oh, no, it's Jennifer. I mean, not that that's... It's just someone who calls in, and she's just listening at this point. She hasn't raised her hand. It's her birthday. Happy birthday, Jennifer.
Well, happy birthday, Jennifer.
But no, we don't have a caller. I'm surprised, too, that we're not getting more traffic. But, you know, it's possible that people that are... I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. People are off work or working from home. And I know often there are callers that are sneaking calls in between breaks, you know, or during breaks at work, or, you know, running off and making calls to find out, you know, psychic predictions for their lives. And they're kind of doing it when they're not supposed to. So I'm surprised that more people that are working from home aren't just calling in. I don't know.
You know,
whatever.
What I was saying before, that, and there was an editorial in the LA Times about how this pandemic was a result of the way we've been treating wildlife. Thousands and thousands of live wildlife markets where these animals, imagine, are in cages. They're alive, and they're killed, butchered, alive. And this is how this virus supposedly spread.
I think that's where I got the confusion about the live bat, that someone ate a live bat. It was actually purchased live at a wildlife market and then thereby killed.
Well, the Ozzy Osbourne, the idiot.
He did actually
bite. He ate a bat or bit a chicken head. I mean, the guy's a crude idiot to do something like that. But
yes, he is.
We actually met him. We actually encountered him.
We encountered him more than met him.
Yeah.
And his wife. And they're interesting. It wasn't his wife. No, it was Bruce Jenner's wife. It was that they were married at the time. It was Kim Kardashian's mother that was married to Robert Kardashian.
Well, the British girl, the British lady was there.
Was she there too?
Yeah, no, she was there.
Anyway.
I forget her name, but now they're saying that they want to eliminate, China's saying they want to eliminate these wildlife markets, which is great, perfect, because I think the tragedy here stems from the idea that we're the killing of wild animals for human consumption. I mean, it's just, to me, it's disgusting, but if anything has happened out of this that is positive, that would be one thing, in addition to the impact of climate control. Now, this has actually helped our climate control because not a lot of people are driving. Industry's kind of shut down. So there is a silver lining.
Injury?
Industry.
Oh.
I said injury?
That's
injuries
what it sounded like
down.
To me. Well, yeah. But I mean, I guess if people aren't driving, and injuries have also started to slow down because there aren't as many collisions.
But
they say that people are speeding at a higher, speeding because there's less people on the road.
Yeah, so I saw some people driving fast. The idea, though, is connected to a hot topic, which is about where our world is heading and the idea that, well, some people are entertaining the idea that this is the onslaught of Armageddon. I don't think it is, but certainly,
well, the
pestilence
onslaught
and disease is part of the revelation prediction.
Well, then let's look at onslaught as a word and what onslaught actually means. Just for a fierce or destructive attack. So, I mean, an onslaught would mean we're being hit with Armageddon in its full force right now, which you're saying you don't agree with. And I would agree also.
No.
But this is not the height of what we're going to see. But I do believe I believe we're at the entrance here.
Well, if you go, you see, in Revelations, is four horsemen.
Revelation.
The four
and actually,
horsemen of the apocalypse.
There was a question about that on Jeopardy last night, and the person answered Revelations, and they got buzzed out because it is Revelation singular.
Revelation, yeah.
It was wrong. So, Revelation.
Yeah. The one of the horses, I forget which one, they're all different colors.
A dark horse, a pale horse.
Disease and pestilence.
I think
it
the
might
pale
be.
Horse.
You could look it up. It might be, I can't remember which one it is. But now, because this has become a pandemic and is global, we could visit the idea
see properly
that
pestilence.
That this could be one of the...
The pale horse is pestilence.
Yeah. Pale horse. Behold a pale... That was also a movie, Behold a Pale Horse, with... Gregory Peck, but that was about the Spanish-American War.
okay.
you know, a fair movie, not a great movie.
But I mean, the fourth horseman rides the pale horse, so you would think that would be the last horse to come in. You know what I'm saying? Because that's after the fourth seal is opened. That's Revelation 6-8, 7-8. So the order of horses, how about we find that out? Go ahead and keep talking while I do a little.
Well, one is pestilence. So could this be part of the aspect, and then the fact that our oceans are being poisoned and people are dying and this, that, and the other, in terms of what's going on our planet? The problem with that is that we've reached periods in history where society or thinkers or scholars have said, this is the beginning, this is it, this has got to be it. The peak of that, World War II and things like that. Well, there's also a passage that says that the generation
about
that was
Israel.
Born at the birth of Israel in 1948 would not pass away before all these things would occur, meaning the apocalypse and the plagues and everything, and the end of the world as we know it. And a generation was considered about 70 years in Hebrew time, somewhere in the 70 range. So if you calculate 48 from 70, we're right in that zone. And so by that prediction, we could assume that maybe this is part of that.
And
it's a scary thought. I mean, I've been examining this stuff since 1966 when I started really seriously examining these things and then writing about them. And composing things
I wish I could claim that I've been looking, you know, at these things since 1966, but I wasn't even born then, so.
You were on the astral plane.
I was on the astral, and I was probably considering those things on the astral plane, yeah. Given our ultimate meeting, but, you know, anyway, we do have a caller, but
okay.
I love talking about this stuff, so
yeah.
We're going to get back to it in a moment. 202 is on the air, hello.
Oh. Hi there. This is Beth. Are you talking to me?
Yes. Are you from 202 area code? Yes.
Oh,
we are talking
yes,
to you.
Yes, I spoke with you before. I didn't actually even raise my hand, but now.
Oh
that I'm
no,
here.
You didn't. You're right. But I thought perhaps you might have forgotten. But in any case, you're on there. 12369.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, Beth.
Hi there.
Okay, well, you didn't raise your hand, but now you've been forced on the air.
That's okay. Sonia's listening too, but I'm trying to think of a question.
Okay, well, while you're thinking, there were some, I think the last show, there were some questions you were asking about someone who had passed we didn't know the answers to. That you didn't know the answer to, and I don't know if you've clarified any of that. What?
Yeah, and I've spoken a lot in the past about my mom because that's who I communicate the most with
uh-huh.
on the other side.
Okay. But there was questions about someone who died in an accident or something like that, I think.
Okay.
And you were asking questions pertaining to the son.
Well, the son was in a serious car.
Yeah, he died. And so questions,
yeah,
but
sister,
we don't have to focus on that. I mean, it's whatever you want.
Car accident. Yeah, my sister's son was in a serious car accident, and he's okay now. He's recovering, so yeah, we're doing with that. And you had mentioned something about a fence, or Neil mentioned something about a fence.
Yeah,
and I remember.
I did confirm that my sister said because they have like a well. And during the accident, there was a big guardrail because you kept seeing a big
That's
fence. There was a big guardrail, and also they have a huge fence around their house.
I thought it was going to be something related to the accident site personally, so it does, the guardrail,
yeah.
And then there's a fence.
Well, there is a
yeah,
there
so there you
a
go.
Big, yeah, there was a big, huge guardrail in the accident. But
okay. All right. Well, as for you, do you have a question that you want to ask?
Well, I've still been working on my business and trying to promote it. I'm promoting free sessions during the coaching sessions. I'm a health and wellness coach.
Right.
And I'm not sure if there's anything else I can be doing to promote my business. I've offered free health and wellness coaching sessions through Facebook and through Instagram to help people with trying to be their best self during the COVID-19 and thrive through everything.
Are you getting takers?
No,
I mean, are people...
I'm mostly just coaching my friends right now.
Okay.
I'm also a therapist. I'm an occupational therapist.
That's right.
I remember. I am seeing one patient because I only have enough physical. I only have enough PPE for one patient right now. Go ahead.
So with the occupational therapy, is that a job that's not a freelance job? That's an actual job where you're employed by an organization? So this is also, you're also having a struggle getting work probably in this area because of the fact that there's the shutdown and you're not employed. It's not like you're being paid from an employer to work at home or see patients remotely or whatever.
Right. I'm trying to incorporate that right now, but most of the patients have voluntarily discharged because of COVID-19.
Jeez. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And the health and wellness coaching isn't going so well. You want to be doing more sessions and you're even willing to do free sessions, but you're just finding that it's mostly your friends. You know, what about, you said you're advertising on Facebook and on Instagram. How about joining some groups, some health and wellness groups on Facebook? I'm sure you've already done this, but if you haven't, how about joining some health and wellness groups on Facebook or new age groups, things like this, and start to offer your services if they allow it. I mean, you know, some groups are kind of strict about what they'll allow their members to do and not do, but you can talk to administration and start to offer your services. I wouldn't say, you know, you get a full session for free. I would say you get, you know, a partial session for free. And then by engaging people, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm offering 30-minute free sessions right now to give people a sample to try it out.
So you're already doing that. But by engaging people, obviously they're going to bite, hopefully, because they're going to like your services so much that they're going to spend, maybe invest more money in doing a full session. But have you done that at all? Have you gone into other Facebook groups? Because Instagram really is dependent on your own personal following, and so is Facebook. So if you're only reaching your friends, then that's not going to build your business. And there are a lot of groups. Neil might have some other ideas. But it's a good way right now while we're limited in terms of how we can get out into the world and interact with other people.
I think we gave her some ideas. Didn't we give her some ideas last week?
Maybe.
The last reading?
I don't remember. We were talking about the sun and accident. We probably did in the first reading, but I don't recall.
I don't want to digress too much, but I'm not sure, but it feels like your mother's trying to get through.
Oh.
And
great.
I sometimes these spirits send symbols or icons.
Okay.
And I don't mean to imply that this is a bad omen or anything. On the contrary, it wouldn't be. But I keep seeing this black cat. And the image doesn't seem to be coming from anything pertaining to the earth per se. So I've got to figure out what's going on.
Was she into Halloween?
I mean, did your mom ever have a cat?
Only for a short period of time that I'm aware of. She
did
make a lot of stuffed animals, but...
this cat she had for a short period of time, do you know the circumstances?
Well, no, I know that some cats jumped into the dryer, and she didn't realize they were in there, and that was kind of the end of that.
Oh, no. You mean,
yes,
like,
I remember
they
that story.
Killed in the dryer?
Yeah, well, I think it was just for a very short period of time, but I think it scared her, and I think that was the end of our pets. I had a huge family, so we didn't really have pets too much, you know. But my mom was a... Go ahead.
Was the cat hurt in the dryer?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's just a very brief story because I kept asking why we couldn't have pets.
So there was an issue about pets, but there was an issue specifically about a cat jumping into a dryer.
There were two kittens or something that jumped into the dryer, I think, that she wasn't aware of.
And what kind of stuffed animals did she make?
So she was particularly a bear maker, and she was really good at it. She actually made some bears that went a bear that went to Jim Brady after he was shot.
Oh wow!
So he went to the White House. She was very well known bear maker and did a lot of displays and local libraries and. It wasn't just
Do you
bears.
Have any of her
she
stuff?
Made a lot of different ones. Huh?
Do you have any of her stuffed bears?
Yes, I do.
Are any of them black?
No, she didn't really use the color black. More brown. Mm-hmm. She used mohair, and mm-hmm. I have one that's white. So yeah, I'm not sure what the black means.
Well, don't you have some Cherokee background?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Well, at least that you told me that I did, and I also, you know, I'm affiliated with, I go to powwows, and, I do natural medicine, and I have natural medicine from the Native American tribe. And I was the one who used to line up my,
I'm remembering more about your previous readings, Bethanel, that you talk about that, and that was the medicine woman, the fact that you passed
well,
the medicine woman.
The black cat is... the way I'm figuring this out is the black cat is a messenger from the astral realm. So it's a messenger of the night pertaining to the idea that your mom's been trying to reach you in the astral realm at night in your sleep. So what you might want to do is pay attention to your dreams. And if you have anything that where you can get a hold of a recording or on the internet of the Indian drumbeat before you go to bed. I don't mean, you know, an erratic drumbeat. I mean something sort of solemn and calming.
Okay.
And listen to that drumbeat before you go to bed. And then if you can, try to retain it one of your dreams because it appears as though your mother right now, my theory is that your mother's trying to reach you in the astral realm. The black cat is a messenger. So in the astral realm, there are astral animals and they're spirit guides. And a black cat is considered a noteworthy spirit guide. So I believe she's trying, I don't know what she's trying to say. Was there anyone, for instance, in your family that you know of that was sort of infatuated with shoes, had a shoe collection or shoes?
I have a lot of shoes.
Well, you're a gal, you know, woman, you have a lot of shoes. But, I mean, do you have a certain... fetish for shoes, or are you like a shoe freak? Do you like to buy them even when you don't need them?
I do have a lot of shoes, and part of that's because my feet are so small. So when I find something that fits me, I usually buy it, and then
are you like a 4.5 or something?
Yeah, and my foot is also very narrow, so it's
narrow.
Really hard for me to find shoes. Okay, so when I find some that fit, I.
You jump on it.
Now, just curious, do you own any moccasins?
Well, I just put on something that's similar to that, but...
just now?
Yeah, somewhat similar to moccasins, yeah.
Uh-huh. Your mom's trying to reach you. I don't know what she's. I don't. You know, I don't. I don't think it's a really like, oh my God, what she. It's nothing serious, but
yeah.
But in the attempt to try to reach you, there may be the seriousness. Just may be the sheer matter of making a connection.
Yeah,
let me ask
I was trying to connect with her as well.
Okay, well, let me ask you something else that's very casual. Oh, we do have some callers, so we have to kind of wrap it up real quick. Do you do any baking, Beth?
Yes, I have been doing some baking recently.
Okay, then what we're going to assume and surmise is that your mom's trying to reach you. What the next step would be, we can't do it on the radio show, but you might be able to reach her now that we've made this brief connection in a dream.
Uh-huh.
So if you have a dream with her, she is around. Did she have a brother?
No, she didn't. I did have a bad dream last night, and my husband asked me if I was okay, and it kind of took me out of the dream, which was nice. It was really gruesome.
Do you remember the dream?
Oh, yeah. It's very vivid. Yeah. It was a very gruesome dream.
Were there any men in the dream?
Yeah.
What happened real quick in the dream?
Real quick.
I can't even really even talk about it.
You don't want to go into it? It was violent.
No, I mean, it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This quote, brother or man, because I didn't feel comfortable with this quote, brother or man, your mother was conveying to me, that was that human being, that was that spirit in your dream. So she's protecting you.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a situation where I needed to be protected, and that was horrible.
Yeah, she protected you in the dream, and she invoked your husband to wake you up.
Oh.
Which brought your astral body. Yeah, that brought your astral body back into your sleeping body through the silver cord and, you know, took you out of your turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
That was
thoughtful.
Yeah.
Okay, Beth. Well,
thank you for that.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. You know, it's weird. The hold times are not appearing for some reason in the queue, so I don't know who came in first. So we're going to take 203, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. How are you both doing? This is Dakita calling from Connecticut.
Oh, hi, Dakita. How are you?
All right.
Living.
Okay. Remind us of your birthday.
Sure. 7/9/81.
Okay. All right. She's a 35/8. Okay. Well. So last we talked to you, were doing some chauffeuring.
No, I think, I'm still at the hospital, still working. I had made connections with nurses. They gave me books. I'm studying to, you know, take a test, which has been on hold because of COVID. So.
Two to ten, Josh. Josh, come in.
Do apologize.
I'm
thankful to be working and active. Yeah.
I don't know if we knew that you were working at a hospital. I don't remember that. But I know you would want to get into the healthcare field. So I can't remember specifically. It's been a while. So what are you doing, like, in the hospital exactly?
So I do valet. I had to reduce my contact with
driving.
The public. No, I'm not driving. I'm actually...
Well, valet is to driving. I mean, unless I don't understand what valet means. Are you driving a car?
I'm doing valet.
Are you... You're valeting cars.
No, I am a valet. I'm a valet attendant, but I'm non-driving. I'm a non-driving valet attendant.
Oh, so you work, but you're still in the car. You're still in that vein of employment. You're not working in the hospital, for instance, admitting patients. You're working in the...
Right.
Like parking area, whether or not you're getting into a car or not. Okay. So
exactly.
I just getting on track about what you're doing now. And you're going to take a test. So what kind of test is this for? A nursing, like getting into a nursing program or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like a nurse gave me the study guidebook to study and a dictionary with the nursing acronyms and their symptoms and whatever. Like, I got a real good sweet deal. And it was for free because I guess I am in alignment with that because that's what I want to do.
Right. I remember that you wanted to get into nursing. Is this a like an LVN nursing program or are you trying to get like a bachelor's degree and get an RN?
Yeah, I'm going for the RN and then the BSN and what, however else, as long as I have my life to spare. Yep.
Great. Good. So it's like a 4 to 5 year program for that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great. Good for you. She's 35'8", so you are...
She's 39 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, she's going to be 39.
She's going to be 39.
Yeah, this year. God willing.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy times that we're in. So you're going to be at 4... No. Well, at 40, she's on a multiple of 8. But not from your master number. From birth. So... Right.
She, well, she's
an
8 by multiple.
Right, but she's at 40. Right, exactly. So yeah, I'm right.
So
you have your cycles are not. You have two cycles going on, 8 from birth to death, cycles of 8. So when you turn 40, that's going to be in a year from now. There's going to be a big change, but you also go in cycles. Of 8 from the age of 35, which is not divisible by 8.
Yeah, that's
so that's around 43 that there's a change. Okay, so what's your question today?
Okay, so my question is, for the past week, basically, or I should say not even week, but from Wednesday, I've been having panic attacks. I've been doing grounding work with myself. I've been checking in with my body. And, you know, this morning I was attempting to have a dream or attempting to make connection in the astral realm. Not sure, but I wasn't able to because I ended up waking up with that anxiety. So I was calling in to find out if you can help me to demystify this anxiety that I'm experiencing.
Well, when did the anxiety start, Takeda? Is it been
on Wednesday.
Recent weeks? Oh, it started on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it's been a week.
This Wednesday, yeah, to Friday, yeah. My sleep from Wednesday, my sleep pattern has shifted.
Because today's Wednesday, so a week ago Wednesday would have been Wednesday.
No, today's Friday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry. Today is Friday. What is wrong with me? Today's Friday. So
see, I had that same issue, too.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. God, I think it's because everybody's off that I'm confused about the day of the week.
Okay, so then that's normal then. I don't want to say that. I'm not trying to call nothing to myself that ain't there.
I hope that's normal. I'm surprised that I did that. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So only a few days you've been experiencing that anxiety. Mm-hmm. Well, and you're trying to get into a mode of meditation to try to clear it, but you're not able to because the anxiety is overwhelming.
Right. I've been doing my affirmation. Even at work, I'm speaking aloud. People think that I'm talking to them, but I'm not. If they hear it and it inspires them, so be it. But
well, I mean, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But as far as getting you out of the state of anxiety and having this, and you've got kids too, right? So there's more stress going on in your life because your kids are probably at home. I'm not sure what the conditions are in your area, but in most places, children aren't in school. How old are your kids, though? Are they out of school? I can't remember.
The school year has been suspended this year,
right?
Because of the COVID, and they've been doing distant learning. Have they been on top of it like how I would want them to be? No, but they are doing their work. They, and you know, my children, their response to this COVID is, I guess in their own divine time, or they're still trying to make sense of it. Cause they first, they, I'm glad, thankful that they have obedience to, you know, adhere to, you know, just stay still real quick and let's see what's going on, you know. But I have a 15-year-old. She asked, her first question when the shutdown took place was, "Mommy, what happened to the homeless people? You know, who looks for them, takes care of them? Not even, Mommy, are you okay? Did anybody sneeze or cough on you?" She wouldn't care. She wants to know what's going on with the rest of the world. You know, and I'm glad and thankful that, you know, they're thinking in ways like that. I tell them, you know, just write whatever concern or care comes to your heart. You know, I try to be as prepared as I can for this. I'm not sure if that's even, I don't know.
Well, you know, the anxiety usually comes from an area you can't quite define. That's why it's called anxiety. It's different than something more immediate. So have you traced...
Right.
You know, you say you have anxiety attacks. Real briefly, have you traced where these anxiety attacks are coming from?
Well, okay, because Wednesday morning when I woke up and I was... like it was like around 3-4 o'clock and I'm having that panic, and by 8 o'clock a knock came on the door, and it was the previous tenant that lived there. And after speaking with her, the anxiety had left. But when I came to work and I'm in the lobby and I'm disinfecting the area, which I've always done since I started this job, I noticed a nurse came down with met a patient who is not feeling well, and instead of having them go upstairs or go to a quarantine area, they did it right in the lobby. And I'm there like, why would you do that? Why would you not let me know that this is what you're doing so I could remove myself? Because I'm preoccupied with my own duty. So
you have these panic attacks, these anxiety attacks at night around 3 or 4 in the morning, the last 2 days?
Yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh. And do you feel better when you wake up? Does it vanish during the day?
It is, because I'm moving and I'm more active.
Yeah. What you're probably is happening, Dakota, is that you're absorbing anxiety throughout the day. You're taking in all your environmental pressures and experiences, and you're internalizing them, and then at night you're releasing it, and in that course of release you're absorbing the anxiety of what you're coping with during the day. So my thought,
See,
because there's no other immediate reason, nothing's, you know, you don't have the, I mean, you might have some concerns. Anxiety can be, you know, the rent is due, you don't want to see somebody tomorrow, something like that. But you're probably absorbing, and nurses do this, you're absorbing the environmental anxiety around you. And at night,
right,
your body's slowly having anxiety leaks. It's leaking out, and you're experiencing it in that course.
Well, and the problem is, though, that she's having disrupted sleep patterns, which isn't ideal, considering you've got to get up and go to work and function, and then you're, you know, not fully present.
Right.
Because you're tired, and it makes everything more difficult. So in order for her to release the anxiety, we've got to come up with a solution for her.
Well, before you go to bed, you could just kind of let go of the day and replace it with some visual energy that is more heartwarming or gratifying.
Are you...
See, what you're doing is you're going straight to bed with anxiety.
Right. Are you at a... I'm sorry, you're going to say something.
No, go ahead, love.
Well, are you at all, do you have an opportunity to physically release at all throughout the day, meaning like exercise, take a walk?
Well, right. This is what I do. I feel like a gerbil on the hamster wheel, but I move around within the hospital, move up and down in the garage, you know. Like I said, I do those things, and then when I get home and I go through my cleansing routine, you know what? You're correct. I'm more paranoid that I don't want to bring anything home to my family.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thank you for helping me understand.
Well, I mean, I think that if you are continuing with your routine of cleansing, whether physical, on a physical level, sanitizing yourself before you come in the house or when you get in the house, you're going to be less likely to contaminate. And you say you work inside too. I mean, you're outside doing valet, but you're also doing cleaning and stuff inside the hospital. So you're in an enclosed space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely want to make sure you're following through with your routines even more vigilantly.
Yeah.
You have been prior to this pandemic. But what you also have to remember is the hospital is full of germs and was full of germs before this COVID-19.
Exactly.
So you were being exposed anyway. And were you bringing things home to your family at that time?
I probably did. I mean, although I did been a cleansy person, I use common sense in here. You know, anything I touch, I wash my hand immediately, carry my sanitizer and so forth. Like I said, I've always cleaned my area. You know, I had customers try to ridicule me or try to make me feel stupid and then turn around, oh, I thank you for cleaning. Like, whatever. You know, this has just been me. But I guess one of my coworkers, he on the bus taking the precautions, and employees came on, coughed and sneezed on him, and he brought it home to his family and infected his whole family.
Oh, wow.
So,
well, that's probably a reason for your anxiety, too, is the experience of your colleague that, you know, where he infected the whole family, and you're concerned about that. But previously, mm-hmm. I mean, have you brought anything into your home to really seriously sicken your kids in the past?
No, never
no.
did.
No, so mm-hmm. I think you're being careful, Dakita, and what you're doing is working as far as protecting them. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, stay in that consciousness and continue on doing what you're doing. Release, as Neil was saying, the stress of the day before you, you know, lay down to go to sleep, and see if that doesn't change your anxiety levels, especially like early in the morning hours, where your sleep's disrupted.
Right.
That would be
like this morning, I did a sea salt bath to try to cut some of this energy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, all those, physical rituals can be somewhat helpful because they also clear the mind. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, going, rituals have been a part of religion for. hundreds and hundreds of years, incense and, you know, the consecration of the
mm-hmm.
body of Christ, all different kinds of things are done in churches as far as rituals are concerned. So they can be very
right.
helpful, even if the salt may not necessarily, you know, cure COVID-19, you know,
right.
It can be helpful for the mental state. So,
right.
So I would encourage you to do that. I don't know if there's anything Neil wants to add before we move on to our last caller, but
No, I hope that's helped a little
bit. Yeah, check back in with us. Dakita.
No worries, love. Thank you.
I woke
okay.
up at 5 o'clock this morning to go get toilet paper.
Trust me, I understand.
Yeah, everybody is like in a strange state of consciousness right now. It's really weird. It's really
mm-hmm.
weird, and it's annoying. It's annoying. So, I hope things go back to normal soon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks for doing
a normal, of course.
Thanks for being in the front line. Yeah.
Thankful for the doctors and nurses as well, you know,
sure.
And all the faculty, the cleaners and everybody, because everybody makes it.
Yeah, they're all a part of the system, and you know, it's important what you're doing, so thank you for that.
Thank you. You both have a good day and great weekend. Thank you for being available to help me with this.
You're welcome. We hope we did help. And Chiquita can check back in with us next week. She should follow us as well or send us a friend request. Like our pages. We'd appreciate that. 571.
Hi, it's Sonia. That's Ben.
Hi, Sonia.
How you doing?
Hope
you guys are staying safe.
We're staying safe, yeah. We are staying safe. I've got this weird voice thing going on, but I don't know. Horse. I'm going to rest. I'm going to try to stop talking after the radio show. That'll be difficult. Me not talking. not a common occurrence. Okay. 4/23/68 is your birthday, right? How are you doing?
Yes. Okay. Worried about family up in Manhattan, you know.
Right, because it's the big epicenter of the pandemic, supposedly.
Yeah.
So
they're concerned about their work when they should be, you know, more concerned about what they're touching. But anyway.
Oh, so they're concerned about their livelihood, but you think they should be more concerned about being kept healthy.
Mm. Well, that's my concern anyway.
So that's your concern. Did you want to talk about that today?
No, I actually had a thought. It was something Neil said last time about, and it's kind of a sensitive issue, but he was talking about fetishes a little bit earlier ago and kind of dealing with a son that has fetishes and not knowing as a mother what would be, a good approach. Or if there was anything, Neil said he dressed up, you know, when he was a teen. Just, I don't know if there was something that happened with your family that was helpful in, I don't know, going through all that.
I just want to make a clarification. I think that Neil's dressing up was more in women's clothes, was more,
right.
Wasn't a fetish, but more of like comedy.
Right.
So it wasn't, it sounds more like what you're talking about with your son has to do with something that may be involved in his sexuality.
Maybe.
In terms of, is he cross-dressing? Is that what you're talking about?
No, but he's like collects our clothing. It won't fit him.
And you have the missing items in your house.
Right.
You have the missing items in your house.
But
so,
since this whole epidemic, there's nothing, you know.
The purse was missing. So
right.
did you find out what happened to that purse?
No, never did. But I was just, it got me thinking about the clothing thing. And but it's not happening right now with all of us home. And it's probably because all of us are home.
When you weren't home, so then let's backtrack because we just want to get a clear picture of what was happening and what you're concerned with specifically. He was taking other family members' clothes, likely.
Yeah, I'd find my boots up in his closet, like you were saying, my leather boots would be up in the closet or my daughter's bra would be somewhere, just random items. Underwear, but not things that he would fit into, so I don't think he would be trying to squeeze into things.
How old is he?
Oh, 17.
17? To your knowledge, does he have a girlfriend, or do you know his sexual preference?
Yeah, he's had two girlfriends, and one of them, I think she just seemed like she wanted to transition.
You mean, like a transsexual. So she wanted to become a boy. So are you, because though there are men that cross-dress that are absolutely straight And it's just a sexual fetish. You mentioned the word fetish. But there are cross-dressers that are more along the lines of wanting to actually be a woman.
Well,
I don't know. If you're talking about a son that dated a someone who wanted to transition, I guess where my confusion lies is whether your son is straight or whether he's gay.
Yeah, he doesn't act gay at all. But he just might be confused.
I don't know. On the other level, Sonia, a lot of people who move into fetishes like this, and I'm not suggesting this about your son, but a lot of people who are have a lot of high sexual energies, they collect women's clothes. It gets them excited. When you go down more into the line of darkness, you get people who, men who will break into women's, and abuse them and
like
take
that.
Their clothing. Some men are excited by it stimulates them to have women's clothing around. It's more of a heterosexual thing, but it moves into the form of a fetish. It gives them excitement. Like I said, there are some men who actually, a lot of criminals have collected women's panties and things like this. Well, it's too dark. It's too big a topic to get into because we're at the close of the show. But
right, sorry.
I'm not sure just how serious this is with your son. 17, he has a high libido right now.
I mean, I think there should be a boundary.
Right.
In terms of, taking family members' clothes, I don't necessarily think shaming your son for having a fetish is appropriate. And I don't think it's a huge deal necessarily in this case. But I don't think he should be taking your family. I mean, I don't think he should be taking your clothes either. So I don't know if you want to buy him some panties or something like that. That might be better than him, taking his sister's underwear, which is, it kind of veers into an area that's, to me, a little bit inappropriate.
Yeah.
But were you going to say?
And how I've handled it is it just disappears. I mean, I take it out of the room, and I might make some random mention to, I was missing something, or, I don't, it just gets removed from the room, really. We don't really have a big discussion about it or anything.
I don't think it's wise to ignore it. I think there mm-hmm. should be somebody professionally speaking that maybe should talk to your son, figure out where he's coming from.
And I think if he's taking articles of clothing from you or from your daughter, that it should be addressed with him. I don't think it should just be swept under the rug and, you take the clothing out and nothing said. I don't think that's the best way to deal with that either. But
I mention it, but it hasn't, he shuts me down.
How do you mention it? Like, what's your, real quick, what's your typical dialogue with him?
I said that, you can't just be taking my clothing. I found these boots in my room, in your room. I don't know how they ended up there, but, things like that.
And then he just denies it. Well, and do they go to any kind of therapy?
He was when he was a few years ago, but now that he's 17, it's this, I can't get him to go anywhere.
And right now there's
no problem at all in the last 2 months. And maybe it was something school related even, and I'm thinking, but.
Well.
It's a difficult
time
topic. Well, and also at the last 5 minutes, you can give us a call on Wednesday and we can maybe discuss a little bit further. Call in a little bit earlier. I don't know what the order was today in the queue because it's not giving me a time stamp on each call for some reason. So, we can get more into it, but I don't think it's something to be ignored.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I know I'm running out of time, so
yeah,
thank you for your time today.
Yeah, but there should be time. If he's difficult in going to a therapist, I don't know. I don't think that's a reason just to let it drop. There's got to be some investigation as to why he's doing this. So that's where we have to start right now, Sonia.
Yeah, and when he did go 2 years ago, he went for months, but didn't never talk to the therapist at all. We went to 5 or 6 different therapists. He never opened up to anybody at all.
Well, you can have a talented therapist that can get them to open up. Not finding the right one. But
after 7, we were a bit worn out, and it was just like, I'm not.
Oh, there's a lot of bad therapists out there. I mean,
it's not a good sign either.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's a topic that still needs to have some discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, Sonia, well, next time we can perhaps get a little bit more into it, but we're kind of over here today. All right, take care. Okay, we are back on the air on Wednesday. Now that I have our days straight and it's Friday, we're back on the air next week, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, and hope everyone has a great weekend. Bye-bye.